Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this will be part two with Josh and Emily Riccone, who is sitting there with Kathy. And Josh is Kathy and Dan's son, and they got married 6 years ago, I think they said. And had if you didn't listen to it, go back last week and follow their discussion of coming in and buying a house and all that's beautiful about it, where basically it was an act of faith. And God said, you know, as they're looking, and it was... Remember, it's post-COVID, so prices have skyrocketed, and the ability to get into a new home is pretty limited. It's really hard for young couples. So you were looking, and saying, well, I guess we just have to compromise. And God said, well, did you ask me? No, what do you have to say? Well, actually, I want you to buy a more expensive house. You know, okay, all right. You know, and then they got faced with this opportunity for buying a new one, which required a 10% down now and 10% later. They had the 10% now, but they didn't have the 10% for later. And God said, I want you to go ahead and do that. And that was a great story of confirmation, unity. Are you sure? It doesn't make sense. God said, yep, I'm sure. I'll deliver it. Don't worry. And then, you know, Josh had this fantastic opportunity from this client that was equivalent, basically with two sessions, really was the equivalent of a whole year's work, right? On top of your normal stuff.
Right.
So that was amazing. And you had the funds to do it. And actually, because you were able to put more down, you wound up with less of a monthly mortgage payment than you had originally. So you got a more expensive house and less of a mortgage payment. And only God can do that.
Absolutely.
Isn't math
so?
God's idea of math is very different than ours.
Yes. So you move into the home. How did that process go, by the way? Was the builder, did he do a good job, and did he fix things that you needed to fix? And how did that go so you really could enjoy, you know, that, you know, not only, yeah, you got the house, but you had to have the quality of the house and the living there had to be fun. How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, we had so much fun building this house. Mm-hmm. The design center appointment by itself was a 3-hour long pick every finishing in the house. And we were like kids in a candy shop. It was so much fun. And they were very flexible with us. They worked well with us.
Listen, they bent over backwards to
they
make
really did.
Some changes.
Semi-custom that... home builder. And we kind of treated them like a custom home builder.
High quality. They're a great group to work with. Yeah.
Yeah, they were really great to work with. And even when problems came up, they were very quick to offer solutions or meet us in our need while the solution was being addressed. So yeah, it was just a very peaceful process, honestly. More peaceful so when we got the money to pay for the house. but yeah, very peaceful process. We enjoyed it.
Beautiful. And so you're in the house and you're thinking, you know, well, you're both going to work and not at the moment have kids. Tell us then what happened about that. I know Kathy on the other side of it was playing, father, are you going to get them going?
Yeah. So we first got married and we, at the time we were both thinking kind of like, we kind of both want 2 to 3 kids. And then we met a couple that became very dear friends of ours who talked a lot about like how kids weren't really in the cards for them, mainly because she was a pre-med student going into medical school and a doctor role after that. And he was very into the accounting world, private accounting actually. And excuse me. And they were just saying that's not really like that because of our careers, that's not really something we're interested in or probably going to pursue. And that was the first time that Josh and I had ever heard someone say, we could have kids, but we don't want to. And I think that started something in us of like, oh, we've been asking God all these decisions about life. And we just kind of assumed you get married and have kids next. And we never really saw the kids portion as being an ask too. And so that sparked in us like, oh, we probably need to surrender this and see if what God has for us here, not assume that it's kids. And selfishly, like, we were loving marriage. We were enjoying just being the two of us, and we could see maybe enjoying that for a very long time. And so we started praying, and we weren't really getting an answer from God. But in February of 2021, we were just spending time on this and felt like God was saying, for 3 years, you will not have kids, but then come back and ask me. But for 3 years, for sure, no kids. Enjoy this season. You don't have to ask in this season. Just go and be married. And we reached unity pretty quickly on that. So we said, okay, from February 2021 to February 2024, we don't have to ask. And we're just not having kids. We can enjoy this season. So we did that. And it was a very fun 3 years. Ironically, the whole house process, with everything that happened, our closing date was February 2nd, 2024. And I chose not to see that coincidence because at this point, I think I had come to a place where I was like really not wanting to have kids. I was loving being married to Josh. I didn't love the chaos that I saw families having with kids. There was a part of me that was like, we could be like double income, no kids for our whole lives and retire early and just travel and like be the cool uncle and aunt. Like I had all these dreams about what that would look like. And the whole time we remained surrendered. But I think when we got to February, it felt really real. Like, we're no longer in our safe zone. God is telling us we have to come back and ask. And there was a part of me that was really fearful about hearing, yes, I want you to have kids. And so the time came, Josh had an open heart, a lot more open heart than I did at the time. And so he was starting to process with the Lord on this. And again, it was not out of rebellion. It was not an open rebellion to the Lord, but it was like this place of fear that rose up in me of like, I don't want to hear yes. I'm scared that if I come and ask, he's going to say yes. And so I just didn't.
And talk a little bit there, right there at the that you said you called it fear. What was that as you describe it? Because that's a lot of people have a fear of if I ask him something, I have a fear. And the question is, what were you afraid of? And what did that look like and feel like?
I guess really at its core, I didn't trust that if God told us to have kids, that would be good for me. That would be good. That would be his goodwill, that I could trust him in that. I think ultimately I saw it my way of like, no kids, this is what our life looks like. Kids, this is what our life looks like. And I didn't trust that what God had for me would be good and that he would bring me to that place.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the moment, what that looks like is that my definition of what I see, I kind of like it. And if it's different, I'm not sure that's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not really fully completely, which I'm sure you got to, is that, well, God's will is best and none better. But absolutely. At the moment, fear is, if he asks me to do something different, it may not be better based on my definition of what I've come to. And that's what fear is all about. So, yeah. Okay, you had this fear, and how did you process
that? But God wasn't letting me off the hook. He was letting me not ask the question. So he wasn't bringing it up in our time. And he was just letting me like ignore the fact that I need to be asking this question. But he wasn't letting me off the hook. We had some close friends that we had gotten to know through our small group who had a little one-year-old. His name was Isaiah. And he's the cutest. He's the cutest kid. And I'm not typically drawn to other people's children. Something about this kid like got my heart. And I adored him. And he became very weirdly attached to me during this season of me not asking God about kids. He became very weirdly attached to me. I loved spending time with him. It was so much fun. And
we're in small group with this other couple. And anytime we'd go to small group, Isaiah, being one, was very focused on his parents and his parents only, right? So he would cuddle up with Eddie or cuddle up with Miriam, his mom and dad. But he didn't really, he would like smile at other people in the room, but he didn't really engage with other people in the room. And for whatever reason, out of the blue, he starts, I mean, every single small group, we come in, we sit down, and he just waddles over to Emily and climbs up into her lap and just sits there for 2 hours every Wednesday night, just like falling asleep in her lap. It was the weirdest, like none of us, Eddie and Miriam are like, this makes no sense. We don't understand what's going on.
He started calling me mom.
He started calling Emily mom by mistake. Like it was just like the cutest little things. And so this is all happening. And as Emily is not asking Jesus about having kids, but is having her heart kind of molded softened, and softened by the Lord anyway, I'm sitting there starting to ask, and he's not giving me an answer. But prior to asking, my own desires were 90% probably not going to have kids, 10% I could see like the fun in having kids. And over the course of the next 3 months, he little by little drastically swung that to 100%. Like, I absolutely feel like we're called to have kids, see the joy in it, see the purpose in it. I'm getting excited about it. But Emily was still processing through a lot of that.
Yeah. And so I think as I'm watching his percentages change in interest, he's starting to talk a lot more about being interested in kids. And this is freaking me out. Like, it's absolutely freaking me out. I'm like, we may have to draw a boundary at like not talking about kids. Like, I don't know how to engage with you in this conversation. And so that goes on for about a month or two, which was honestly really hard on us. That was a very difficult season in our marriage, not because we were at odds, but because I felt like we were in such different places that for the first time in our marriage, it felt like it took something off the table that we could talk about. And looking back, like, that's absolutely on me. I was not surrendered. I was not asking God. And so had I been doing that, maybe that season would have looked a little bit different. But it was a very difficult season for us. And then I don't remember what the initiating moment was, but something got my attention in June where I was like, I am not surrendering on this. And Josh is very clearly moving toward kids. Like, I need to spend time on this. Like, I need to just suck it up, face my fear, ask the Lord, and see what he has to say.
Let me stop you right there again. And Josh, as you were observing that, how did you process that so that you weren't pushing it or accusing, like, well,
that's good.
You know, you're not surrendered and you should, you know, you could have gone a certain way with it. How were you functioning knowing that you were kind of headed down a certain path and Emily wasn't joining you even in the process of it yet? How did you view that to allow her to come to her own place with God?
Yeah. So as he was bringing me through that few month process, obviously he was doing a lot of work in my heart, transitioning desires, right? And so I'm seeing that change in me and I'm not hearing him say, you're supposed to have kids, but I'm feeling him start to nudge me toward that and to really be open to that. And at the same time, I see Emily struggling with that a little bit, struggling to surrender in that. And Emily and I have really open communication about basically everything. But one of the things that we always have had is the understanding that iron sharpens iron. We're each other's best friends. We are called to hold each other accountable in our walks with the Lord. But there's also a really unique and delicate balance in the sense that it's also not my responsibility to get us to unity, right? My job and Emily's job when we are seeking the Lord is not to find unity. And I think early on, we didn't understand that. We thought, okay, well, I'm asking Jesus, you're asking Jesus. And so now it's our job to get the same answer. And our job isn't to get there. Our job is be submitted and be asking. And then it's the rest of it's on Jesus, right? It's in his
by the way,
to get us to unity.
You will, if you approach it that way, you will get to God's answer.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Because he's doing it. It's not on you. Yeah. And so there's a responsibility on each of us to be submitted, be surrendered, be asking, but there's no responsibility on me or on Emily to get to unity intentionally. It's right. We just wait for Jesus to bring us to unity as long as we're submitted. And so in that season, God had me in this unique balance where there would be times that he would prod me to ask Emily, what's the word I'm looking for? Not passively, but very, you know, like submitted casually to ask her, hey, has Jesus been saying anything over this? And she'd be, oh, no, like we haven't really talked about it. And I would just, okay, like, sounds good. We're just going to move on. So there were times that he had me prompting Emily and asking if God was doing anything there. And then there were a lot of times that he was like, hey, like, you don't need to bring this up. I've got her and I'm going to get her to a point of surrender and get the two of you to a point of unity on my answer, whether it's, you know, what you're thinking it is or not. And it's going to happen in my timing. So don't sweat it. And so it was this sweet season of kind of that. I think a lot of times we hear Jesus talk about a light burden and an easy yoke. And we think of that from a worldly or practical sense of like, oh, well, that must mean things are going easily for us. And I don't think that really gets at the heart of it. I think a big part of his light burden and easy yoke, when we cast our cares upon him and when we're abiding and asking, is that our only responsibility then is to submit and ask, and everything else is on him. So if he doesn't bring us to unity, great. Like, you know, not in a vindictive way, but like, great, not my problem, right? Like that, like that's God's problem to handle. And so there was a freedom there to just enjoy the season that he had each of us in and watch as we both grew and grew closer to him, grew closer to each other as we processed these things. And then fast forward to Emily's point, to, you know, mid-ish June, and he does bring her to a place of surrender. And so as we are praying through all of that, we're at this point both surrendered, and all of a sudden he brings unity.
So I'm going to break in before they continue with this part of the story and just share from a future grandparent's standpoint. Obviously, my heart's desire was to have grandchildren and have a plethora of them. And there are many, many promises that God has given Dan and I over the years that that would be the case. And so I just want to reiterate, even from this standpoint, hearing them say, we're not going to have children, God never said, you just need to pray that I change their mind. You need to force that or whatever. He's like, no, you stand on the promise that I will give you grandchildren, and you trust the fact that they seek me and hear me. Your role is to pray for them to hear me well and to walk with me, whatever that path looks like for them, and to pray for your future grandchildren and trust that I'm bringing them, whether I bring them to you from them or just from your other children. Your role. So my prayers were not in the midst of this, which I think is important because there's a lot of grandparents out there. My prayer was not a manipulative or a make this happen, God, you promised, so this has to be. My prayer was very instructed from him. They pray, they listen to me, they walk with me, they abide with me, trust their abiding, continue to pray for them as they abide, that they hear me well, and pray for your future grandchildren, and don't be concerned if those two things overlap or not.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a lot of kind of sweet revelation for us in that season, of just how to approach that conversation with other people and friends. And I think a lot of that was driven by how my parents handled it. They were always really good about, like, anytime that you talk to people, when you're married and you're meeting somebody for the first time, a lot of times they'll ask, oh, how long have you been married? Oh, we've been married, you know, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. When are you having kids? And that's the next question, right? It's not an if. And we just, in American society, assume, and even in the church especially, we just assume, I know God's will for your life. It must be to have kids. When are you having kids? Better get on that. Like, and there's, for us, there was this really sweet, I think this was a big part of what has allowed us in this season to feel willing to be open and vulnerable with my parents about this process. They never once asked us, when are you having kids? Like, we early on expressed that we might not have kids. And from that day forward, every single conversation around kids was, well, no pressure, but if you guys do ever decide to, just know this, or just know, like, we would love to do this. Or, and so it was always extremely conditional and extremely submitted to the idea that, you know, just like we have to be submitted about whether or not we're going to have kids, they had to be submitted and trusting God's plan of whether or not we were going to have kids and they were going to have grandkids through us. Yeah. And so that was really sweet for our friendship, just to see everybody in that conversation setting aside their own desires and their own, frankly, you know, expectations. I think we very frequently can fall into this mindset of, like, kids are just the expectation. And there's a lot of people out there where God isn't necessarily calling them to that. So that was really sweet. But we're in June, and Emily and I are praying, we're submitted, and Emily had repented from not being surrendered earlier. And so God was moving in this, was redeeming all of this, and brings us both to a point of unity. And this was what was really sweet, was a big point of excitement too, that we were supposed to have kids. And so at that point, oh, go ahead.
Just going to say, the excitement came on really quickly. Like, God was really faithful.
After the surrender.
Yes, notably. But it was funny to watch, like, my hesitation for months and months and months. And as soon as we surrendered and God said, yes, I want you to have kids, it was like a switch flipped. And all of a sudden we were like, this is going to be so much fun.
When you went through that and came to the point of, because you talked about fear of hearing, and then you pursued actually then his answer, because you said you surrendered. What happened there? How did that work that you opened up and said, yeah, I know I've had fear about this, but I actually do now want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I think it was a realization that the whole time that I had been fearful, I still, like, wanted what God wanted. Like, that was my deepest heart's desire. I did not want a life apart from his will.
Right.
And I think he just had to let me wallow in that for a bit. But I think when I came to, like, when he let me come to this place of repentance, it was like, okay, God, like, I've been being silly. Like, I do want what you want. You know that. I'm ready to listen. Even if you tell me to have kids and I don't want it, like, I'm ready to, like, I'm ready to trust you because I know what you have is best. So,
yeah, because surrender is not to, okay, fine. It's rather that you do, and you said it, is you believe, and you then come to that same place of, well, wait a minute, his will is best and none better. And I really do want his will, which is best and none better. So I'm willing to process through, you know, to a surrender. Surrender, by the way, is open to God's answer. If, even though I, at the moment, prefer not having a child, if your answer is to have a child and that's best and none better, then I would actually want to pursue that. And then you say, okay, I'm willing to pursue it. Now, interesting enough, and you said it, when he said yes, interesting enough, your fear goes away and you actually start getting excited.
And it wasn't just okay, fine.
God says, no, I want to build in you the enthusiasm for what I'm about ready to do. And it's not a grudging, okay, I'll do it. It's no, hey, you know what? This is going to be exciting. So talk about that process when you got excited.
Yeah. So God brings us unity, says you are supposed to have children. And so then the next step for us in our heads is, okay, we start trying to have kids now, right? Like you're entering the trying phase. And in that moment, he was like, no, I have a different step for you. I'm like, okay, what is that? You know, what is the next step? So you spoke that this is what's happening in the future. What are you calling us to right now? We didn't want to assume that we knew the next step, right? He gave us the destination. We didn't want to say, okay, we're going to go get ourselves there.
Right.
We wanted to say, okay, how are you getting us there? Like, walk with us in this. And so, but the instinctive thought is, okay, you start intentionally trying, you know, tracking cycles and, you know, keeping record of whatever's going on and, you know, trying to like just expedite that process. And he says, nope, I don't want you to do any of that. I don't want you to track a single thing. I just want you to, yeah, he banned us from tracking. It's like, don't get an app. Like we had friends that were using apps to track, you know, fertility windows. And like, don't get an app. Don't do any testing strips. Don't do any of this stuff. You're on birth control right now. Get off birth control and then just keep living your life. Your only action step right now is to get off birth control. And so we get off birth control that night. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're praying over pregnancy and this process. And one of the things that as we're asking that he speaks to us is Isaiah 60. There's several promises in Isaiah 60 that he uses to speak over us. But at the end of the chapter, there's one verse that specifically talks about God's timing in what he's doing, you know, not for us, but for Israel at the time.
Yeah,
and he speaks through this and applies it to our lives and says, hey, I am the Lord. I am doing this. It's happening in my timing and it's going to come swiftly. And so Emily and I are like, great. You know, this is end of June, early July. We're like, swiftly, this is awesome. Like, we're excited about this. This means by the end of July, we're going to be pregnant, right? And so we kind of put our own interpretation of what God meant on his word.
We know one thing. God's definition of swift and our definition of swift are always different.
Totally different 100%.
And so,
part B of soon.
Yeah, it was like when he said, I'm coming back soon. And we're here 2,000 years later.
Yeah, that's right.
So we hear this and we get all excited. But then one of the things that we're wrestling with is, again, this kind of calls back to a similar situation that we discussed last week on the podcast. But this was something that God promised, but the promise aligned with our desires. And so Emily and I are usually a little bit more cautious holding on to that promise because we recognize that we are human, we err, we have biases. And so as we are seeking the Lord and trying to hear his voice on this, we hear him promise something that we want and we're excited about. We're like, great, we're going to hold that, but we're going to hold it loosely until it's confirmed because we don't want to allow our own desires to influence what we're hearing. And so a little bit of time goes by, a very brief amount of time, a couple of weeks, if that, go by. And we show up to small group one night, and it's just us and Eddie and Miriam, the couple with that has Isaiah, and Isaiah's there too.
They've actually been on the podcast, so our listeners know Eddie and Miriam.
So we show up to small group, and that night it was just the four of us and Isaiah. And on the car ride there, we have at this point not told anybody that we are, except for my parents. We went probably a month without telling anybody that we were off birth control, felt led to tell my parents and to bring them into that in prayer. And so that was really sweet and exciting. Mm-hmm. And then The intention and the thought was that we weren't going to tell anybody else until we were actually pregnant. But on the way to small group, we all of a sudden, both in the car ride, feel this heavy weight from the Holy Spirit that we are supposed to tell Eddie and Miriam and bring them into this. And so we show up, we tell them what God has been doing in our lives and that we're off birth control.
I'm going to pause you because that story is even better than that. Normally, there is a whole flood of people at small group and you show up and
we are the only ones. Share.
Yeah. Everyone else canceled at the last minute except these two and Eddie and Miriam. So God gave them this space to even share the story,
right,
which I love. I love how God's in the details.
Yeah, for sure.
I love how he's in the details. Yeah.
And so we show up, we share all this with the Martinez family. And Eddie says, hey, first, we're really excited for you. This is great. Love what God is doing. This is so cool. But also, this morning, I was spending time with the Lord, and I got a word for someone, but I didn't know who it was for. And the word was specifically the last verse in Isaiah 60. And it says, I'm the Lord. I'm going to do it in my timing. I'm going to do it swiftly. And he shares that with us. And he's like, I didn't know who it was for at the time, but he really clearly spoke that this morning. And then in this moment, as you were sharing, I heard him say, this is for the Racconis. You're supposed to share this with them. And so then Emily and I we're laughing out loud. We're cracking up. We go in and we didn't tell them anything about the passages that the Lord had spoke to us, the promises he had spoken over it. And so we share with them, hey, this is great. This is the exact verse out of the entire Bible. This is the exact verse that God spoke over this process. And we were wrestling with how much to hold on to that because it aligned with what we also wanted. And so now having you, knowing nothing about the fact that we've had this verse spoken to us, you got the same verse this morning and shared that with us. This is really sweet affirmation in unity in the body of believers that, like, yes, God did speak this promise. We can hold on to this promise. And so then we grab tight to that promise. And again, our definition of swift was probably a little bit different than the Lord's. So we go a couple of months of testing and it's negative, fertility testing, but pregnancy testing at the end of the month to see if we're pregnant, and it's negative and it's negative. And so we're starting to get a little bit disillusioned, but then 4 months in, 5 months in, we end up testing positive. Emily's pregnant. This was November 4th. So we find out on a Monday, and that Friday we were actually going on vacation with my parents down to the Caribbean. And so we didn't know it at the time, but we unintentionally planned a baby moon celebration, the four of us. And so we find out that we're pregnant. We go on this trip. We celebrate, the four of us. We're all having a great time and just really enjoying it. And looking back, we look back and we're like, oh yeah, 4 months. I mean, that's swift.
Yeah, that is.
It may have not felt it at the time, but the Lord absolutely did what he said he was going to do. And then since then, we've just had sweet promises spoken over our lives post-pregnancy, you know, our parenthood lives, promises spoken over the little baby boy that is coming. We found out it was a boy. Originally, we were told, because of poor blood work testing that was mishandled, that we were having a girl. We believed we were having a girl for about a month. We were told after blood test, hey, you're having a girl. And then a month later they said, hey, we were wrong. You're having a boy. That was a whole whirlwind. But yeah, just been a really sweet season where Emily and I now are both super excited. We're all in, could not be happier or more excited for what God has for us in store for this next season. But it was a really cool season of individually pressing in with Jesus and him molding our hearts to match his as we surrendered and as we submitted to him. And then watching as he didn't have to do this, but he chose to instill excitement and desire for the things that he called us to, right? Sometimes he calls you to things and you're not excited about it. You have to surrender and say yes. And, you know, Jonah was not pumped to go to Nineveh, right? But ultimately, eventually, he said, yeah, I am going to go. And I'm still not thrilled about it, but I'm going to obey. And then he saw great blessing. He saw the Lord move. But there wasn't a point in that story where he was like, oh, all of a sudden, I'm really excited about this. He was like, no, the Lord said it, so I have to do it. And I think that was the mentality that we came in with of the Lord said it, so we have to surrender and we have to submit. But then after that surrender, he, just because he's a good father and loves to give good gifts, said, okay, I'm going to give you excitement and joy about this. And that was probably the sweetest part of the whole thing for us.
When's the baby due?
July 14th.
Fantastic.
So we are 7 weeks out right now. I don't know when this airs, but day of filming, we are 7 weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah. So by the time this airs, you probably will have had the baby. So that'll be.
This is airing August 7th. So baby Racconi will be here.
Congratulations. And everybody's healthy, right?
Sorry?
Everybody's healthy and.
Yeah. Everybody's healthy. And, baby's doing great. Em's had, you want to speak to pregnancy a little bit?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I was the leading candidate for nausea and all sorts of ickies during pregnancy. I have so many digestive issues and lactose intolerance and you name it, I have it. And so I was like, pregnancy is going to be the worst.
Because she is terrified of throwing up.
I hate throwing up. So if I had to throw up even once over a pregnancy, like it would have been awful. Not to mention a whole like several weeks of it. But in part of Isaiah 60 that he promised over pregnancy for us, there's a piece in it that says, I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. And I just remember reading that and immediately knowing by the Holy Spirit, like receiving that God was saying, I'm going to make this pregnancy fun for you. And it will be healthy. It will be peaceful. And when we did finally get pregnant, I had like a couple days early on while we were actually on vacation. We think it was food poisoning because as soon as I came back from that vacation, I never dealt with nausea again. And that was like at week six. So it's been the most peaceful, fun, just healthy pregnancy. It's been so easy. Yeah. I know a lot of women don't get to experience that. I feel so blessed that that's the case for me, but it has been just an easy pregnancy. I've gotten to enjoy every part of it with only like the minor aches and pains to complain about.
Yeah.
And so honestly, you've been kind of healthier this past year, you know, during this pregnancy, I think is probably the longest walk of real health that we've seen, like gut health and everything for you.
Yeah, I'm on all kinds of vitamins and whatnot because of pregnancy. But I think for whatever reason, the hormones plus the vitamins and something in between with God, I am like able to stomach lactose now. I can do all kinds of things I couldn't do before.
It's been hilarious. It's been so much fun. So such a blessing.
Yeah,
really. It's been fun to see God show off in the process, show off in molding our hearts to match his in it as we surrender and submit. And then really fun to see just all the blessings that he's pouring out in this season, just for fun, because he's a loving father that loves to give good gifts.
Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, we do pray over this boy and for health for both of them. Thank you for giving peace and joy, particularly for Emily, through this process physically. They're excited now to bring your chosen life into this world. We just pray that they will have the same enthusiasm as they go through life now with this son. And it'll just be a joy, a thrill, the opportunity to have you fulfill your will in all regards for them building a family. And so we lift it up. We pray for a very smooth and beautiful delivery and then a life into this world that we all rejoice over. And we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys,
for
sharing this story. It is such a beautiful example of just walking by faith with God and listening and responding to everything he says and knowing his will is best, none better. So thanks for that. And listeners, if you have questions from today's broadcast, send them into us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.